Today is Wednesday, June 10th. The time is 3:32 p.m., and this is the time and place of the Public Art and Community Design Committee. I ask that our PAC DC administrator establish quorum with a roll call, please, Sadie.
Dia Jamil.
Present.
Adrienne Ackerman.
Here.
Alicia Vasquez. Ann Lopez. Ann, can you verbally state?
Here.
Thank you. Audrey Wehner.
Here.
Brandon Vrella.
Here.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios, Dusty Reyes,
Here.
Leanne Hernandez, Lily Tate,
Here.
Jim Block,
Present.
Janet Fisher, Lizzie Golden,
Here.
Logan Green,
Here.
Maureen Lewick,
Here.
Melissa Brown Dominguez, Nancy Fung,
Here.
Valerie Sipp, Wesley Cree. Okay, and with that, we have 12 members present.
Awesome. Thanks, Sadie, and everyone for being here. And so timely, we had quorum at 3:32. That's exciting. And thank you to those of you who are on camera. Totally understand for folks who are not on camera. Before I became chair, I attended many meetings and was not on camera, so no shade at all. And we have a new member today, so we're going to do some introductions first of guests and staff from the Arts Foundation, and then we're going to, as you are all familiar with, introduce ourselves to our new colleague on the committee and give them a chance to introduce themselves. And when you do, if you can come off of video or come onto video just for that, would super appreciate it. But if you can't, no worries. Totally understand. So with that, let's get introductions from Arts Foundation staff and any guests first, please. Whomever wants to start.
I'll go ahead and start. Hi, I'm Sadie. I'm the PAC-TC administrator, so you'll be receiving all the agenda and supplemental materials from me. And if you have any questions or if you need to send any like event information that I can distribute to the PAC-TC members, please do reach out to me on either of my emails that I've been corresponding. Thanks.
Hi, you're welcome to the committee. My name is Wilwin Reyes. I'm the director of public art. You can ask me any questions about public art in general or the program. You can also send all your complaints my way as well.
Hi, I'm Gia Delpino. I'm the communications manager. Welcome. I'm glad you took on the challenge.
Great. Thank you, Arts Foundation staff. I don't see anybody else in terms of guests. Right, Sadie?
Right.
Okay, great. So then as committee members, I would just appreciate if we could all go around and share our name, our pronouns, who appointed us or how we got onto the committee, maybe how long we've been on, and whether or not we are artists or art connoisseurs or some combo platter version of the two. So I'll model it very quickly. My name is Adrienne Ackerman. My pronouns are she, her, Ea. I've been on PACD for 3 years. I'm the mayoral appointee and current chair. I am a performance artist. I dabble in a bunch of other things, nothing to write home about, but love public art and the combination specifically of public art and public health and initiatives like that. So I'm going to popcorn over. I'm just going to go down my screen. So Ann Lopez.
Hi, I'm Ann Lopez. I'm the Ward 4 appointee to the PACD committee. My pronouns are she, her, and Taya. I'm a musician and a fabric artist, and I've long been a community activist in Ward 4. Glad to have you aboard.
Thanks, Anne. Next on my screen is Jim.
Hi, I'm Jim Glock. I'm a second-term PACT member, he, him, former Arts Foundation member as committee member as well. I am a civil engineer. I built transportation systems, and one of the components of all the systems that I like to have was public art. And so I'm a patron. My wife's the artist.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Jim's very humble, was the former chair as well. And you'll see me relying on him a lot for like, what do I do now? Audrey, you're actually next on my screen, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Audrey. My pronouns are she, her. I was initially recommended for this position by Ariel Fry, who I worked with on the Transportation Art by Youth project. I was a panelist on that, I think about 2 summers ago, where we had a group making some artwork for the Wagging Tails Dog Park. I am a lifelong artist. I am currently focusing on sculpture, mixed media, assemblage, like junk art, building stuff out of like thrifted materials and scraps. And at my day job, I am a graphic designer for an online store where I make apparel, toys, jewelry, all kinds of products. I have lived in Tucson for, I think, 12 years. I'm a Ward 2 resident. I live near Fort Lowell Park. And I was appointed by Paul Cunningham. And I am so glad to see a bunch of folks who I have either met just in passing or I recognize your names and I'm just a fan of your work. And so it's really nice to be here in community with a bunch of other fans of art. So thank you so much for having me.
Yay. Thank you for joining us. Next on my screen is Logan.
All right. Yeah. My name is Logan Green. He, him. I am the Ward 3 representative here. And I am a musician and I work. I started a nonprofit called Groundworks Tucson that works with youth in the arts, and we do visual arts and music and a whole bunch of other stuff. So yeah, that's my artistic background, but my personal background is in music. Who hasn't gone?
I'm just going down my screen. So Maureen?
Hi, I'm Maureen Lewick, she, her. I was appointed by the county administrator, and I've been on the committee since May 14th, 2014. And since I retired, I tried every kind of art, and I have landed on colored pencil. And there's going to be a Colored Pencil Society of America convention in Arizona this year. So our group is really getting excited about that.
That's so cool. You'll have to let us know when it is and where it is. When
It's at the end of July, and it's in Prescott.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Next on my list is Dusty.
Hey, guys. I'm Dusty Reyes. She, they, also don't care, whatever pronouns you want to use for me. I am appointed by the Arts Foundation. And I'm a writer and a photographer. I dabble in those. I'm actually more of an entrepreneur, so my art is building businesses and systems and helping businesses and systems optimize for less friction and heat between people. So that's where I spend a lot of my time. And because I'm part of Zero Craft, I'm downtown a lot, and I'm always looking at public art, and it's piqued my interest, and I love civic engagement. So that is why I'm here.
Heck yeah. Design is an art form for sure. Okay, next on my list is Adia.
Hey, y'all. My name's Adia. She, her. I'm a fiber artist and a farmer, and I run a nonprofit with my husband with our farm.
Thanks, Adia. And Nancy?
Hi, I'm Nancy. I was appointed by the Arts Foundation. I've been on the board 4 years. I do a lot of volunteer work in Tucson, and I enjoy art. Welcome.
Thanks, Nancy. Brandon?
Hello, my name is Brandon Varela, he, him. I am the director and head curator for the Old Bosque Museum and Yaqui Culture Center. I am a member of the Bosque Yaqui tribe. I am an artist. I was appointed by the Arts Foundation. I am also an Arts Foundation board member. I've been on the panel for a year and some change, maybe more. But yeah, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Brandon. It just occurred to me too, Sadie, if you don't mind jotting down who we're missing today and sharing that with me, then I can try and look at my list too. But I just want to make sure that next time folks have a chance to introduce themselves if they're not here today to Audrey. Cool. Thank you. Okay, Lily.
Hi, I'm Lily Tate. I am a painter and ceramics teacher in Marana Unified. I was appointed by Rex Scott for District 1 for the county. Been on the council for quite a while now, but really love just staying connected with all the things that are going on and helping keep my kids, my students informed with public art. And we've even done some like little mini PacD versions with some of my art students. So it's been a lot of fun. But it's a great opportunity and really great connections. And this is my son.
Who's our guest here?
That's Joshua. He's my son. Oh, he's a little artist too.
Are you sharing some art? Bring it in. Bring it in, Joshua.
Not too much. Yeah. That's some cool beautiful. Art. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
So we are in full summer break mode right now.
And also, I called the drawing the Joshuasaurus.
Joshuasaurus. Awesome.
That's great. That's awesome.
Thank you, everybody. Nice to meet
Thank you.
You.
It's what I'm going to discover.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. I love the drawing. Drawing what we're going to discover, that aspirational art. That's awesome. Okay, I think last on the list for me is Lizzie.
Hi, I'm Lizzie. I was appointed by Selena Barajas for Ward 5, and I just started in January. My background is in architecture and exhibition design, and I've just recently started at the Arizona State Museum for as their exhibition designer, and welcome.
Great. Yay. Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for introducing yourselves. It's always nice. It reiterates, you know, I've been meeting with a lot of you for 3 years, and I feel like I learned something new about you every time, and it's a lot of information to take in, so we'll keep doing it every time we have someone new and strengthening those connections. Okay, next is item number 3, call to the audience. This is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion to the call to the audience, members of the public body may respond to a personal criticism made by those who have addressed the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project, proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. Sadie, do we have anyone for call to the audience?
Yes, Mr. Felix Lawrence, and he's in the room now.
Hi, Mr. Lawrence.
Hello, good afternoon. I'd like to ask you all individually, have you read Directive 7? This is the administrative directive from the city of Tucson that establishes this committee. It's very good for you all to read this. I'd like to ask you individually if you read it. I'm not going to go by name here, but The document clearly shows that the city of Tucson intended for this committee to have authority and exercise power and influence outcomes in public art. And over the years, it has been stripped of that authority by the Arts Foundation, I believe. And I believe that was deliberate because it makes the Arts Foundation job a lot easier when this committee simply rubber stamps everything. Now, the last 2 years in June, on the agenda, we have had the public art plan. The public art plan was there these last two Junes because of me. I was the one that pointed out that the Arts Foundation had never produced a public art plan in its history, and the city of Tucson finally admitted that, and then finally the Arts Foundation put it on the agenda. Now, I warned this committee that although Directive 7 says that this committee should draft and implement the public art plan, I warned this committee that the Arts Foundation would do that for you and ask you to rubber stamp it. And that's exactly what happened for 2 years in a row. And you, of course, allowed that to happen. Now, this June, this meeting, it's not on the agenda. So I'm worried about that. The reason I wanted a public art plan to exist is because I wanted this committee to have a vehicle in which you could exercise some power and influence. And now that it's not on the agenda for this June, I'm worried about that. Now, I'd like to give you a little reminder of how committees work. When you have an agenda item that's marked action, any one of you can make a motion. So if any one of you wanted to make a motion to add something to the public art plan or remove something or modify the plan, you'd simply make a motion. If someone seconds the motion, then there would be a discussion and then a vote. If the vote carries, the public art plan would be modified. That's how the committee works. So if you have any ideas, and I believe most of you are on this committee because you are cheerleaders for the status quo. You're here simply as a cheerleader, and you have no interest or ideas on how to change public art. Now, the holy grail for me in public art would be to introduce the First Amendment into public art for the general public in at least one location in this large city, Tucson. Now, the city doesn't want that. The Arts Foundation doesn't want that. And perhaps even you all don't want that. But that's just one example of what you could do to modify the plan. If you have any ideas, you could modify it in a different way. But I'm predicting that none of you, just like the last 2 years, I'm predicting that none of you will have any ideas. But we'll see if it ever ends up in the agenda again, because if it's missing this month, it could be missing next month and then be missing the following month and simply not be on the agenda ever again. Because you know how it works. When they want you to vote yes, they put it on the agenda. When they want you to vote no, they keep it off the agenda.
Mr. Lawrence, your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you, Felix. And just to respond, it is going to be a topic of discussion. It's under a different item for this meeting, so that it can get even more consideration than it has gotten in just one meeting per year in the last 2 years. It will be agendized for a future meeting based on the conversations that we start having today about what we can and should add to it. So always appreciate your enthusiasm and also just clearing that up. Are there any other members of the public to make comment?
No.
Okay, great. Let me get back to my little agenda. Okay, our next item, number four, is the committee member activity report. Audrey, this is something that Jim introduced while he was chair that I just love. It's an opportunity before the regular agenda or the rest of the agenda, for each of us to share if there are any like news with the organizations that we work with or activities coming up that we want other like our colleagues to know about. It's also, you know, if there's something that we've maybe been talking about that isn't agendized for us to continue talking about, but somebody's done some extra legwork on it and they want to report back, they've heard back from someone about something they were going to investigate, this is a moment for that. So yeah, I just want to open up the floor and see if anybody has anything they would like to announce or report on. hearing anything. No activities? It's summer. It's got to be something. Okay, well, I will share that I will be emceeing a burlesque fundraiser for Flux Productions on June 26th at Crooked Tooth Brewery, and it is a fundraiser for a wonderful queer and mostly trans-serving organization. I'm not sure if everyone on this committee is aware of the proposed rule at the federal level that, if it goes through, will allow the federal government to withhold funding from any organization or institution that recognizes the existence of transgendered people or people who are gender nonconforming. So organizations like Flux and other mutual aid groups that do not rely predominantly on federal funding to serve the populations that they serve are going to be even more central and important to helping to keep our trans and gender nonconforming communities safe moving forward. This is going to be a really, really fun event. If you want to come contribute to Flux, see some amazing, some of Tucson's best burlesque performers, and enjoy the non-alcoholic and alcoholic beverages that are really tasty at Crooked Tooth. That again will be on the 26th, and it's a pride themed event. Anybody else?
Yeah, apologies. just want to give everyone an update on the Old Moscow Museum. We're in the process of receiving, but it was finally made official and approved that we are recipients of a Mellon grant, which means the museum is going to be going through some changes. I'm thinking later half of the year, we'll go ahead and move forward with our revamp, and we'll go ahead and I'll let everyone know and send out any invites for any events that we have to show off our new exhibits.
Yes, please do. And we, our reactions are limited on this Zoom because we can't have things like chat and like whatever. But so I couldn't do the little celebratory woohoos that they usually have in Zoom. But I just want to do like a round of applause and mazel tovs for y'all for getting that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Logan.
Yeah, I'll just kind of share something I've shared previously, but we have our Camp Groundworks annual fundraiser and live stream event and music fest and art, everything on August 28th, 29th, and 30th. I will send a new flyer with some of the sponsorship, availability if anybody has any connections to businesses who may want to sponsor or other folks who may want to sponsor. And you all are absolutely invited if you would like to come to the kickoff and launch party night. That's a free event at the space. It's kind of going to be our open house sort of thing, but it's all associated with our Camp Groundworks event. So that's August 28th, at 6 p.m. is our kickoff event, and then it'll go that whole weekend. But I'll send more info via email to Sadie.
Yay! Thanks, Logan. We appreciate the reminders for many months before. I think they're necessary. So.
And Chair Ackerman?
Yes.
If I can just say apologies to Logan. I accidentally said he was Logan Phillips in the email I sent you all. I always mix you guys up, so my apologies. That information, as you probably assumed, was from Logan Green, not Logan Phillips. I will double check next time.
No problem at all.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Okay, any other committee member activity reports? Hearing none. We'll move on to item number 5, which is the Public Art Director's Report. So this is an overview and update on upcoming public art projects. Audrey, these reports are also included in the materials that are sent out before the meetings, and their reports that Wilwyn develops and then talks to us a little bit about. And Well, in opening it up to you, and also hoping that we can do, like we had talked about before, like the sharing the screen and showing folks how they can sign up through Airtable on the links that are in the report for the opportunities.
Sure.
Thank you.
Can I share a screen?
If you request it, I think I can give you access. There we go.
Okay, how do I share just this screen and not all of my other screens so you can see all of the various work I'm doing? Okay, see the report? Is it zoomed in enough?
If you can make it a little bigger, it might be helpful.
Okay, I'm going to try this. Huh?
Oh, there it's going.
Ah.
Yeah, there
okay.
We go.
Okay, so this is a report. We should probably change the caption on the agenda because it's like the public upcoming projects is like a kind of a small part of it. So this month I decided to add some data points, some data that I put together for an annual report, for the Arts Foundation annual report that's coming up. So this is some info. All the cool stuff we've done, and then, you know, noted from fiscal year 26, that's a July 2025 to June, to the end of this month. So one thing I want to note is, you may know we extended the roster, public art roster, and as of today, right now, we have 75 applicants. It's a lot better than last month. I forgot what it was, but it's way, way lower. We opened up to the whole state, I believe. So we've got some Phoenicians in here and some other folks. So that's good to know. If you want to be on the roster, I think you can be a PAC. Can you be a PACTC member and a roster artist? Or if you know anyone that lives in Arizona that wants to be on the roster, apply now. You have a few more weeks. You can click on this link, you know, right click, open. I'll take the application. And what I put on all of these reports at the bottom is this panel interest form. So I would recommend committee members to join panels. Audrey, you've already been on one, so you know how it works. But you can use this link or copy and paste this link or copy and paste this language and send it to any folks you might know that might be good for upcoming projects, and you learn about them through me.
And Will, when I was specifically hoping that we could walk folks through the Airtable form, like once you click on that link, it takes you to the Airtable form, but then on the Airtable form, you have to click on another link to find the opportunities, and it's a little cumbersome. So that's why I wanted folks to be able to see what is actually the process to get to the opportunities and the sign
type? Okay. Let's see. How do I do that? Stop share. All right, you're looking at something that says about the public artist roster.
Yes, we can see that.
I see a thumbs up. Great. So when you click that link from the other page that Adrian was just talking about, it takes you here. I haven't done this in quite a while. So let's see what it looks like. That's the wrong link.
Yeah, I was talking about the panel interest.
Yeah, I'm going in now.
Okay.
Same window?
Yep, it's opening.
There we go. So short description. Person, last name, email, phone number. Right questions. If you have any specific questions, please ask them now. It's this section, right? That's confusing.
Yeah, so this is where you sign up to show your interest in being on a panel. But you need to click this link, the what projects are you interested in being a panelist for, and that takes you to the public art projects and opportunities. So if you're sharing this link with others, or if you're looking to sign up yourself, then you can get a sense of like what's available. So you can be picking things that are of interest to you or like in your ward or district that you feel a connection to, or you can find out what opportunities are available that you should that you could recommend other people to participate in.
Yeah, it shows past projects too. So you click the add button to see the upcoming ones. Not all of these have a page yet because the RFQs launch. When the RFQs launch, then they get put on the website, but these haven't even started yet. So these are projects that are slated between now and up to 2029. That's how far ahead we are.
So when people are trying to sign up or to encourage somebody else to sign up, what's the best way for them to differentiate between the projects that are available to sign up for or not?
I think if they're coming here, they might already know what projects are coming up, because the panel opportunities are generally for people that live or work in that neighborhood. So the voices of people in that neighborhood are the ones selecting the artist and guiding the design, contributing the history and culture of that place to help inform the artist. So I would say typically you can fill this out and pick one of these or not, because you'll just generally go to a list of interested parties. But if you click on a specific one, and that's where these little prompts come in that help us organize panelists for each project.
So people can complete this form even if they don't have a particular project in mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll touch base when we can if there's the right opportunity.
But the assumption is for PAC-D members, we would know what ones are coming up because they're included in your report. But for other people, it's...
Yeah, I would say that because you know what's coming up. I'll have talked about it. The details of each project will be fleshed out by then, because a lot of these are the ones that I just showed you. We just were told by GTN that they want to do this in 2028. There's going to be a new bridge, or sometimes I go ahead and look to see what capital improvement projects are coming and reach out to see if they plan on doing public art for them.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a function in Airtable where for the survey itself you can, even if the project exists in your all's back-end flow in Airtable, if you can limit what appears to the people that are filling out the form, just those that are open for participation. It might be helpful, but just a thought. But thank you for walking us through that. That's what I wanted to see, because we talk a lot about everyone getting involved in these panels, but sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly how to sign up, or we need a reminder, or it's helpful to go through together to see where folks may be getting stopped up. So does anybody have any questions about that process or any of the information that's in the director's report for this month?
I will note that to join the panel, it's on this report. It's on our website. It's on most of our social media. That's it for me.
Okay. Well, my question is, first of all, yay, we're up to 70 applicants for the roster. That's exciting. And I guess I have a question, like, one to my fellow committee members, like, how did your outreach go? And two, I guess, like, to the PAC, or I'm sorry, the Arts Foundation staff, do you have a sense of how much of that increase was a result of this concerted push that we all did? And I wonder, I'm asking those questions now, but I wonder if this should live here or in the update from the communication team. But it's in the report, so I think we're good, right, Sadie? Yeah, okay, cool. We can do it here. Yeah, Logan.
Cool. Yeah, I sent it out to our community. We tried to emphasize it. We printed out flyers here at Groundworks. And then I also reached out to Sokka and shared the updated like info flyer with them, so that they could print it out in their space. But that is the thing. I don't have any concrete feedback or whether or not that there were any Groundworks or Sokka directly related, and we may never know, but definitely I can't imagine the push hurt. So, you know, should be good.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. I know I sent it to my neighborhood association, to the mayor's office, to a few different signal groups, and I did see it go out to my neighborhood association, but I don't know if anybody clicked through the links. I'm like, maybe that's something we could think of for next time, is like personal links or some way to track the link click throughs. But Gia, I see you coming up. Do you have any sense of like, did it help? Do you know?
That is actually an intrinsic goal in my department. Like one, it's actually like what I want to do. It's also an extrinsic goal as well. We don't have like the best way to see it like a direct one-to-one correlation. We can make like inferences, and I'd be happy to share that data once the application cycle is completely closed. But I'm sure like you've had, it made an impact. And I do think that we're on track to reach our goal of 100 applicants by the time the deadline closes in 2 weeks. So thank you so much for all of your hard work. Really, I think part of the issue is that people don't really understand this opportunity that well. And like for someone to be the ambassador or the messenger to kind of break down. And thank you so much, Adrian, for your flyer, which was like amazing, simple, is beautifully designed, and like it unpacked what the program is in two languages. I'm sure that was a lot more helpful than like our small little blurb that was suited for social media. But please know that we're going to start building in flyer creation into our like workflow from now on.
Oh, yay. That's awesome. Thank you, mm-hmm. Gia. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think it's hard for us to, like, every year we on the committee are like, what is this again? And so, like, I just imagine for most artists, it's like, what is that? Why would I want to be a part of it? So I'm so glad that it got extended a couple of weeks or got extended, you know, at this point a couple of weeks, but a whole nother month. It sounded like Wilwyn said it got expanded to the entire state. Okay, cool. Should we be focused on another, like, would you like us to do another push and kind of expand to networks if we have them outside of Tucson? Would that be, or do you feel like you're on track? You're going to get 100 and you don't need us to do another push.
Could we reach out perhaps at last week if we see that numbers aren't climbing up? I mean, the thing is that, you know, history has shown us that like people apply at the last minute. And I think that's what we're anticipating. But I mean, the last time we met and we discussed this, we had 20 applicants and a few of those were in draft mode. So the fact that we have 70 completed applications is impressive. And I don't doubt that like your outreach made an impact. So thank you.
Yay. Okay. I mean, that sounds good to me, but I want to check in. Are there any objections on the committee if Arts Foundation staff need us to activate at the last minute for them to reach out and ask us to activate our out-of-town networks? Any objections? Any enthusiasm around being like, put me in, coach, at the last minute? Cool. Okay. I'm seeing some mixed... Yeah, I think we're on board. Okay, there's no objection anyway. Yeah, put us in, coach. All right. Any other like report backs on the outreach effort and how that went for folks? If it felt okay to do the way we did last time, if it didn't feel okay? As a reminder, that was when I was like, we're going to go down one by one and talk about who we are sending this opportunity out to.
I appreciate that. I think it's helpful to just kind of actively engage folks. I try to do it here at our space, but we have teen volunteers, and it's harder to get the follow through than I think with active adults. But yeah, I do appreciate that way of doing it.
Cool. Is anybody like, you know what? It did not work for me. Let's avoid that in the future. Okay, cool. Well, we'll keep experimenting with it. Feel free. I'm not married to any one way of doing this, and I'm open to whatever's going to work the best for all of us to get these opportunities out there. So feel free to keep the feedback coming openly, honestly, directly, or to say anything so it's not primarily me talking through these meetings. okay. Great. Well, then we can move on. Thank you, Wilwyn, for the data in that report. That was really cool to read all of those things. If you haven't had a chance to check out Wilwyn's report, please do. And now we'll move on to item number 6, the review and approval of the May 13th, 2026 meeting minutes. I'm blanking.
Do move I just to approve?
Thank you, Anne.
Jim Block, all second.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Any discussion or anything before we move on? Nope. Okay, then, Sadie, could we do a roll call vote on the minutes, please?
Dia Jamil?
I wasn't here. Do I still
get you can vote on them if you're comfortable.
Approve.
Adrian Ackerman?
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez, Anne Lopez.
Approve.
Audrey Wehner.
Approve.
Brandon Varela.
Approve.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios. Dusty Reyes.
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez. Lily Tate.
Approve.
Jim Glock.
Approved.
Janet Fisher. Lizzie Golden.
Approved.
Logan Green.
Approved.
Maureen Lewick.
Approved.
Melissa Brown Dominguez. Nancy Fung.
Approved.
Valerie Sipp. Wesley Cree. And we have unanimous approval.
Awesome. Thanks. Lizzie, I just kind of got lost in your little avatar for a moment because I'm just like, I feel like you're like listening to music or something. I love that picture so much, and I just am always like, what are you listening to? What's going on? Okay, neither here nor there. Item number 7, update from Arts Foundation's communication team, a presentation and discussion on any upcoming grants, programs, and opportunities promoted by the Arts Foundation. Gia, I'm assuming you're talking to us about this today. Great.
Thanks, Adrian. I'd like to request to share my screen. Okay. Boom. Well, as mentioned, the deadline's extended, but also the eligibility has expanded. The new deadline's June 25th. And as mentioned, it's open to all artists in Arizona at any stage of their career. So if you would like to support in that last push, there's no pressure, but of course, like any additional support would be greatly appreciated. And also we would like to request your support from one of our public artists. Sasha Prima was selected to do a public artwork at Morris K. Udall Park. And Wilwyn, forgive me. I know that part of the installation is starting in the fall. I don't know when it will be realized. Can you please? I mean, well, as we get the answer to that, I just want to underscore how impressive this artist is. He is really engaged in a community-based like practice. He has been surveying a lot of residents in Ward 2, specifically because that's where the park is, about what they would like to see in this public artwork. And he's continuing on this collection of of interviews through one-on-one conversations that he would like to schedule now until June 30th. I will share this flyer with Sadie, and hopefully that can be distributed amongst like your various networks, because although this is in Ward 2, many people from across the city use this park, especially because of the pickleball court. So I think this is an important way to also kind of demystify that, like, the Arts Foundation at staff, we're not making these executive decisions. Like, really, all public art is made by panels, unique panels that are convened, community voices that are coming together. I mean, the artist is opening up the invitation for more voices to come and share what they would like to see. And of course, you all at PACD. So I think the more that we can, like, kind of continue putting that messaging out, the more people feel empowered to join in the process. And then lastly, I just want to point out that we did announce our new Saludarte selected artists. It is Shay Spirit and Nikki Ratty. Forgive me, Sadie, if I mispronounce the names, but they're like a group of wonderful people that are doing performance-based and photographic work in order to help people navigate their relationship to substance misuse and also to destigmatize substance use as well. So check out this announcement on our website. And I want to re-extend the invitation for PACD members to come forward and like share what it means to be a member, like why you joined, what you're hoping to do here, and to exercise like your power and your influence and to represent like the wards that you do or the people that put you in this position. And kudos, big kudos to Logan, to Maureen, and to Lizzie for stepping up and allowing us to do these like wonderful profiles. Yeah, and to spotlight you on social. I think this is another great way that we can continue like, underscoring that like you all are part of the decision-making process and play such an important role. And exactly how does that happen? Because PACD is not well understood amongst our audiences. So please, like any kind of collaboration, and we will make this very easy. We just send you a couple prompts that you can respond to, and you can send this back to us via email. So I'm hoping Adrian, I can reshare those questions with you, and perhaps you can share it out with the group. But that's it for me. Thank you all.
I have a couple more updates that I don't have pictures for. Sorry. But if you've been driving on the I-10 near Miracle Mile, you may have noticed some work done. So that was a big project working with DTM ADOT, because it's a freeway. You can't just pull off the side of the freeway, apparently, and start working. It's illegal. But that whole mural is done. It's been restored. It was falling apart. It's like a 20-something-year-old mural. And also, if you've been near the Ward 5 office, the news, the police and fire building, the artwork in front of that is complete. You might have gotten a glance at it before it's rewrapped up, but in the coming months when the building's done, we're going to do ribbon cutting. So I'll provide that information as we find out. But you may see new public art out there as you're commuting this summer.
Will, when I do have photos, and Adrian, would you like me to quickly share? Okay. Let me pull those up.
While Gia's pulling those up, Dusty, did you want to ask any questions or share any thoughts?
Yeah, I've got a question. We voted for the rosters to be open to people in Southern Arizona, and obviously that got expanded to the whole state. And I'm wondering, who made that decision? I don't remember us voting on that. I wasn't in attendance at the last meeting, but I did listen to it, and I did not hear that.
Yeah, I believe at the last meeting, I did a quick informal poll to see if anyone would be, like, if there were objections to expanding it, and I named that I did not think it was, like I thought it was in keeping with the original spirit, but also asked that we would know what the process would be like to expand it. So I'm curious as well. Thanks, cool. Chris.
I mean, I can only speak from my domain, and, you know, I'm not making these as executive decisions. I think that decision was made because we had such a low application pool by the time that the original deadline came about. But yeah, that was the end.
Was there a question?
Yeah, I think the question was, since we voted on, like, as a body, we voted on defining the selection area before, and then y'all had talked to us about potentially the need to consider expanding it or extending the date, but we never had a formal vote on expanding the – hey, Jim, you might want to mute if you're on a call.
Yeah, my actual question was, who made that decision? Was it us? Was it somebody at the Arts Foundation?
The Arts Foundation did. It's not actually a requirement for this committee to run our programs. We offered it as an opportunity to be involved.
Sure. The reason I'm asking specifically is because we voted together to have a smaller thing. So I was just wondering how that got undone. That's all.
Oh, I think it was
the lack of
applicants. It would render the program unusable for only like six artists. Those six artists would do really well since we're launching so many roster projects in the next 2 years. Is that sort of answer?
Well, the question was who. So is the Arts Foundation, who does make that decision, the board or someone overseeing the program specifically?
Well, I don't have a play-by-play for you, but I recommended it. Talked to the team about it. Then we brought up the flag.
Cool. So it's the whole state. And this thing goes for 2 years?
2 years, yeah. Okay. Previously, it was global. And there was no turnaround. So the roster artists that were on there could have signed on in like 1994. I have no idea.
All right. Thanks.
I have those photos that we want to pivot really quickly and then kind of close this loop.
Great.
So these are, the zoom's in the way. These are the public safety complex, the Southside Public Safety Complex, which I think they're still organizing to come together, but it's essentially the police department, the fire department, and emergency services, and all of this is close to the Ward 5 office. And these sculptures were created by Gordon Huter. Forgive my pronunciation, I'm probably butchering that. But they're really beautiful glass saguaros that cast like this beautiful, like iridescent light and shadow. And that will be in this like main plaza that's in the middle of this hub. And I believe when the ribbon cutting happens sometime in July, this is where it will happen, like in front of these sculptures. And there'll be like a stage for any kind of statements or announcements.
There, you can see it in the background.
I'm sorry?
In the background, where they're pouring concrete, they're putting a pedestal there, and it's essentially where they're going to have public meetings. Hold on.
Mm-hmm, public meetings.
So it'll be right in front of those decorated glass artworks, which refract that light onto the ground and whatever's there.
So that's an exciting project that is coming. It has been realized. And this one as well. I mean, this is actually closer to where I live. And it's such this, it's an iconic landmark created by Gary Mackinder, like in the early 90s. And Paloma Jacqueline worked with the community to recreate these tiles and use the original glazing technique from Gary's technique. And now we have this icon back and restored, and so it's just stunning. And I love how there's like this continuation of legacy, like one local artist and another local artist like talking through time and collaborating in a sense, in a like metaphorical sense. So that, I believe, will be complete this week. So fun updates from the public art realm.
Those are gorgeous. Thank you so much for sharing. And cool to see the proximity to spaces for civic engagement, too. All right. Is there anything else that we, Dusty, do you feel like your question was answered? Do you want to? Okay. Any other questions on the report on education outreach efforts item from anyone or comments? Okay, great. Okay, well then we're going to move on to item 8, and we're still workshopping the name of this standing item. Right now it says report on education outreach efforts, right? But it's also other things. So bear with us, please, while we in the agenda setting committee keep remembering at the last minute every time, like, oh yeah, we should probably rename that, and we continue to workshop it. But this is as a reminder for folks and especially for Audrey, since you're new, this is a area, it's a standing item now, it's newly-ish a standing item, and it's where we have an opportunity to discuss, like, what are we as a committee doing to make our service in this body even more meaningful, impactful, mission-driven, like, what are the ways that we can not only amplify the existing and upcoming opportunities for artists to get engaged and amplify the efforts that the Arts Foundation is already doing and get them even deeper into the communities that we hold dear and may be a part of, but also, like, what does it mean to be a member of this committee, and, like, how can we do even more to bolster public art from these positions that we hold? And so one of the big things coming up is the annual co-creation of review of the public art plan. So we heard a very vocal and active community member, Audrey, you will come to know, Felix, who speaks at many of our meetings earlier, talk about this public art plan and agree with or disagree with some of his tactics. I do think that he was right in saying, at least in my experience, you know, it was through kind of his advocacy that we got, like, a semblance of, like, what is the public art plan, that helped us to understand, like, historically, the public art plan has been, at least from the purview of the PACD committee, has been relegated to the capital improvement projects that the city of Tucson already has, like, slated for the next fiscal year. So these are the municipal projects and programs that are dedicating, like, their a percentage of their funding or their resourcing to incorporating public art into their into what they're creating. An example of that is the Grant Road expansion project right now that is, like, expanding the road and creating space for murals on either side of the road. So these are the types of projects that the city already kind of has in its pipeline, and that is, like, the public art plan. Now we know that there's a lot of other projects and things that constitute the public art universe that we experience day to day within the city and within Southern Arizona, the county as well. And in those administrative directives that we've kind of gone back and forth about in my 3 years on the committee, the PACD is, let me just get them up here. And it's also on the Arts Foundation's website, like, listing the role of PACD members. But the language says that we participate in the development of the public art plan. We recommend changes to the plan and we oversee its implementation. That's pretty broad language, and it's something we've wrestled with for the last 3 years, because what does participating in the development of the plan actually mean? We have often been kind of presented with the plan and then just ask to approve it. What does recommending changes to the plan mean? And what does specifically overseeing its implementation mean? Like, this is really wonderful aspirational language. I think it would be great if this committee really functioned in that way. And also, at least in my experience, we have not. And so this year, instead of just getting the public art plan and being asked to review it and vote on it and approve it in one meeting, we've worked with the Arts Foundation staff. We've learned that there's like not really a hard line, like this plan doesn't have to be approved in June for the fiscal year. Like we have some leeway here, and learned a little bit more about the process. We have the projects that are suggested by the city that are outlined in the capital improvement projects. We have the process of it coming to us for any recommended changes, additions, whatever, what have you. And then it goes to the Arts Foundation's board for approval. And then it goes to the city. And so we have this beautiful opportunity now in this moment, in this item, to kind of start dreaming and scheming out loud about what do we want to add to as a suggestion to the public art plan. Now, whether or not any of our suggestions actually make it past all these approvals, I have no idea. And if they do make it past these approvals, who's seeing them? Will they get incorporated into next year's plan? TBD, no idea. This is like an experimental process for all of us to see how this system works, if it's working as intended, and what we can achieve if we kind of exercise our role as it's listed. I will say the caveat here, Audrey, I see your hand, and I'll get to you in just one second because I do want to stop talking at everyone very shortly. But I think the caveat here is that we've also been told that the administrative directives are being like reconsidered. Language may or may not be changing in them. And we know that the Arts Foundation's or like PACD's kind of like relationship to the county is a bit in flux, and we're still waiting to hear what that means. And so I think we have this very special little window, where we can just like play. And like put on our wildest imagination caps and see what can we do. And that could be the thing that many of us have been advocating for years in many different ways. Like, let's include a free wall in the public art plan. It could be like, hey, this roster opportunity is such an amazing opportunity for artists, but like people don't understand it. Perhaps we could create with the city's resources, not putting more work on Arts Foundation staff, but like with the city's resources in conjunction with the Arts Foundation and PACD members, a series of informational and engaging videos that could help artists around town understand the public art process. Perhaps we need some meetings between the city and the Arts Foundation and artists to learn what is the process? Like, how do I become a public artist? So we can go hog wild here, and we will have the opportunity to have this discussion. We have 25 minutes left in this meeting, and then we can take any recommendations or motions at the end of this discussion to include in the public art plan that then we can work with the Arts Foundation staff to see, like, how do we best include these suggestions and before we bring it back to the committee for voting on that plan. So that's the intention of today's discussion in this item. Thank you for bearing with me as I tried to like encapsulate it. Please let me know if you have any questions, and I'm going to go to Audrey and then Lizzie.
Yeah, so my question was, is it possible to get a copy of last year's plan just as something we can sort of use as like a baseline to kind of pick through and see if we can find any constructive notes we can give? I don't know how soon we are expecting to receive the new plan for this year. So just kind of in the meantime, just to see like what historically that's looked like.
Yeah, definitely. For context, it is a longer version of like the the director's report you just saw. So it basically is just laying out the planned projects that the city already has for capital improvement in that kind of like Airtable view. But we can definitely give you a copy of the 2025 version. And I think it's even available in the minutes that are, I'm going to look for the link while we hear from Lizzie.
I don't know if this fits into what we're talking about, but I was speaking to an artist, and they brought up a great point of coming up with a roster of designers, architects, anyone who's sort of willing to help them facilitate their own projects, especially if there's like, you know, permitting involved or, you know, that sort of a bigger process than, you know, just like doing a tile mural on a wall or something like that. So just having some sort of roster of architects or designers that would be willing to work with other public artists.
Wait, so I want to make sure I understand. So a roster of architects and designers to help other public artists do what now?
To help with like the process, with to help with their process, if that, because I don't really know if the Arts Foundation or what sort of resources are given to public artists for larger infrastructural, you know, public works are available.
Mm-hmm. So like mentoring them through like, okay, you have this.
Not mentoring, just like if say somebody needs like a concrete footer, or they need permitting for a project, or they need support with like a structural load or something like that, that they would have a list of designers or architects that could help them out with that, or you know, urban like landscape designers or whatever, what have you.
Like that's such a cool idea.
That's what the artist brought forth. So I'm just trying to articulate what that is. And that was a frustration for them, that they had to kind of start from scratch every single time to build those relationships.
Can I ask if that was in the past 5-4 years?
I don't, it was, I had this conversation maybe like 3 weeks ago. I didn't ask when that process was. When that happened, it was just like I thought it was a great idea to bring forward.
Well, if they want to reach out, they can call me. I will say that when we started, we required the landscape design team for every project to be part of the panel for that purpose for some emerging artists. So we recently got a muralist got a commission and wants to include sculptural components, but you know, doesn't know how. So we've reached out and showed them, brought them, or shared fabricators with them, and more experienced artists like Joe O'Connell, who helped them find an engineer, because when you do structural components, if you're not familiar, you have to get stamped engineering plans, which are SE or PE stamped engineering plans for it to get approved by the city. And no one teaches you that. You have to figure that along the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just curious because we do the best we can on a case-by-case basis, but I do love the idea of a roster. And I've been percolating on this public art core thing, which is a gap bridging artists in 2D to learn how to become public artists. And that would be like a sort of perfect part of that. So thank you.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks.
Real quick, Dusty, I just want to see, Lizzie, is that something that you would like folks to consider as like a proposal for the arts plan?
It's an idea. I don't know where it fits exactly, but that's, you know, again, I'm sort of relaying something that I heard out in the community and bringing it forward to wherever it sort of fits at whatever point it might make sense.
Okay. I think, like I said, we're throwing like spaghetti at the wall here and we're going to see what sticks. And I think that it's a beautiful idea for folks to consider, and we can entertain motions at the end of the conversation to see where we're all landing on these things. And I just want to like, also reiterate that, like, last year, you can see in the minutes from, like, our July meeting last year, this particular discussion about, like, what is and what is not included in the public art plan. These ideas that I'm suggesting we consider were explicitly not to be included in the public art plan, but it's also hard to find where they fit. And, like, I think that the public art plan has historically been the capital improvements projects, but we can also see, like, what of these ideas can get in front of the city and, like, where do they go from here? So there's no harm in suggesting them here. And then if we find out, Lizzie, that it's not here was not the place, then we figure out what the place is moving forward. Dusty.
Cool. Well, speaking of spaghetti, how about the free wall? I'd like to discuss that. I haven't been able to participate as a member in any of those conversations. So what I understand is that there has been interest in the past. It has made it onto a public art plan, but then ultimately was not activated. So I'm wondering if we were to, we would basically have to, this is a question, are we starting from the beginning with the free wall if we want to get it on the public art plan?
Yeah, so I'm going to attempt to answer that. And then, of course, Arts Foundation staff, if you feel like, or other committee members, if you feel like you have, you want to add to it or correct anything I'm saying, let me know. The free wall was a rallying point for PACD before I joined. So 4 years ago, I think, maybe 5 years ago going on. And there was a letter that all of PACD members signed on to that went to the mayor, other elected officials, I think the manager's office, et cetera, advocating for this idea and sharing the justifications. It didn't really lead anywhere, and nobody in that time period really followed up with the folks that it was sent to. I got a meeting for Jim and myself with the mayor and her team, and the idea was kind of taken to the city attorney's office, the previous city attorney, not the current city attorney, just putting that out there, who said that there would be, the liability was too high, et cetera, and just kind of rejected it. But we were never given any insight into, like, how it was presented or, like, what the liability concerns were in that conversation, how they relate to, like, other, you know, big liability concerns that the city takes on all the time. So it's come up in a lot of different ways. The Arts Foundation staff has been kind enough to suggest, like, hey, this would be the perfect candidate for, like, potentially a donation. So if members of this committee are, like, jazzed about getting, like, a donation from, like, a private entity that owns a wall as opposed to going through, like, city-owned property, because the concern there was, like, the liability in the city kind of hemming and hawing at that. That hasn't really moved forward, and I think part of that is because it is, yes, a free wall could be created on private space, but then it's also not necessarily achieving the totality of free expression that is desired with this or from the get-go. And I think something else that has come up is that, like, while this idea has been put forward, it hasn't really been put forward with a substantial proposal. Like, there hasn't been, like, hey, here's how other cities have done it. This is how, for example, I found some cities in Australia that the mayor championed the free wall, and, like, it's a municipal project that has worked out. And so I think it's worthwhile to talk to those folks and be like, how did you do that with insurance and liability and, like, free speech, et cetera? But I think a proposal, like, I don't think we would be starting from scratch, but I think if we are, one, going out on a limb and being like, we're going to suggest things are added to the public art plan that are not capital improvement projects. And B, one of them is a free wall that it may behoove us to have a bit more of a proposal behind that. Does that help answer your question? Or
yeah, totally. I'm interested in formulating this proposal, but like you're saying, that there was several years ago that PAC-DC got on board with that. So I'm wondering if I could poll our audience here and see, are people still interested in that at all? Is that something that people want to pursue? Is the energy still there? And that's my last question on that for now. I will concede my time.
Would you mind if I see what Jim has to say and open up,
absolutely,
see if there's more discussion, and then we do like a little informal poll?
Have at it.
Cool. Thanks. Jim.
I just want to get this off my head while we're talking about this. You know what we ought to do is we ought to have the free wall included on any public art project as a standard proposal. In other words, we have a public art project on a roadway, and a free wall is one of the things that the POOR committee has to consider as part of the public art selection process.
What if we end up with 50 free walls?
Since we're having troubles getting this thing off the dime, why not just force it upon people? Everyone can cancel it, you know, but it just gets it out there. Get more exposure. Anyway, sorry, just a brain fart there to share with folks. And
no,
talk about it later.
This is a brainstormy moment. That's great. Thoughts? I would love to hear from other committee members, maybe those who have been on the journey with this discussion in all of its iterations. Maybe you can answer Dusty's question. How are you feeling about this? Or those who have not been along for the full journey. Anyone?
Well, we should get Dusty the letter that we wrote.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, and do we have that archived somewhere in the minutes of the organization or something like that?
I think
it's rare that we even write letters, so it's like something that we should have.
Oh. I can attest to it not being on the city website where there are meeting minutes and audio recordings. It does not go back that far.
Okay. Can somebody clarify what exactly the free wall is? I feel like I'm only vaguely familiar with it.
Yeah. So a free wall is basically like a wall or a space where anyone can throw up, usually with like, when I say throw up, I mean it in the terms of like tagging, usually with spray paint, not with bodily fluids, but like spray paint or painting in a public space, whatever they like. This practice takes place, you know, informally in a lot of different places. We see it a lot on our trains. We see it sometimes in places where folks might not want to see it. And then in other cities where they have allowed like space for this kind of free expression, it's been a really like self-regulating kind of community effort. There's a lot of evidence of folks who have been champions of this idea, not only like checking up on these spaces very regularly, like daily or multiple times a week, to make sure that there's nothing like hate speech that's left up or trash that's left around, things like that. But that it also has reduced the amount of like storefront graffiti or things like that in a city by giving like an outlet for this type of free expression that is, you know, more or less state sanctioned, state being like the government, right? And I think the idea, the impetus behind it is like it's a truly public art process. It's accessible, it's low bar for entry, it gives, you know, it like creates a place for folks to hang out and congregate and learn from one another. And yeah, am I painting the, no pun intended, painting the picture for you, Adia? Does that help?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, because your comment about like, what if we had 50 free walls? And I'm like, I don't don't know. I think personally, because we currently, so I'm relatively new to Tucson, and Tucson's kind of a small place, and relatively like 10 years. But the thing that I notice is that it's like every couple years, there's a really popular artist, and they do a whole bunch of public art. And then the next really popular artist gets chosen. And I think something like a free wall would help more voices be seen, just in general. So I think it's pretty cool, but I wouldn't mind multiple free walls, but.
Yeah, I think when I was like, oh no, what if we had 50 free walls? It was more like, who would be making sure that they are like maintained in the way that they would need to be, you know, like that's historically what I've seen, or not historically, but like what I've seen in reference for like all the other spaces where I've seen this work, is there's usually like an enthusiastic little community of folks that are really maintaining it to make sure that it remains functional for the people that use it. I'm not saying it's impossible, and I would love to see 50 free walls. I was just like, ah. Like, let's walk before we fly was my like initial reaction, but yeah.
That's fine.
I see Dusty and then Audrey.
Cool. One thing I wanted to add about the free wall, the thing that gets me, I mean, besides free speech and access, is that I work with a lot of muralists, and it finally occurred to me they're painters. So you can paint at home on a canvas, but you can't just buy a wall to practice on, and you can't buy the experience of being outside and working in the elements. So in order to be a muralist, moving from somebody who wants to be a good muralist to actually being a professional muralist, you have to get a lot of hours on an outside wall. And without connections or connections, you don't just get walls. So I'm a proponent of the free wall in the way that allowing anybody who wants to learn about painting on certain textures and outside in the elements, what kinds of paints to use, what lasts, learning those things through the doing is really important. And that's an element that I think is really important. That's it on that.
I love that in terms of rebranding, like it's Tucson's practice wall. Maybe that gets more traction. Audrey and then Logan.
Yeah. I love that. I think I just wanted to speak in favor of a free wall in general. I think like right before I joined in an official capacity here, I noticed some folks on social media, kind of like artists primarily, saying it seems to be a lot of the same people getting selected for the same type of work over and over again. And I just wish there was more variety or more opportunity for other smaller artists with like new voices, new things to say. Kind of like Adia was saying, like, you know, there gets to be somebody who is like the Tucson muralist. And it's nice to think that there could be an opportunity for smaller folks to kind of use this as an opportunity to get that practice. And the other thing it made me think of is like when I was talking to Rep Cunningham, he kind of said, oh, part of the reason I want to throw my support behind public art is because of stuff like, he mentioned like the Rattlesnake Bridge as like a really iconic sort of almost like a, not necessarily even like a tourist destination, but that's part of it, just as something that, you know, it kind of becomes its own landmark. And I thought of, maybe this is kind of a goofy example, but I thought of like the Gum Wall in Seattle, how it's kind of like got this image of like a community organized thing that just kind of popped up and then stuck around. And it's just sort of like bolstered by the fact that everybody loves it and people come from all over the place to see it. And so I do wonder if we had a free wall or a couple of free walls, if it could, you know, part of like a strategy to get more support from different folks in positions of power to kind of frame it like that. Like this could be something that we could get a lot of interest from people all around the city or even outside the city as like a Tucson thing that kind of makes a big splash. So yeah. Totally in favor.
The city loves to drive tourism, for sure. Okay, we have two more people on deck to speak. I have a question for Wilwyn about the logistics here for this plan. And we have like 4 minutes before 5 p.m. So we may continue this conversation at our next meeting and not have motions today. But Logan and then Brandon.
Yeah, so on the topic of the free wall specifically, like, it seems chaotic, which is on brand for me, and I like that. And so I'd be happy to support. It also seems like something that is very doable. I'm sure there are concerns. There are always concerns, but I think it is very doable. It is a wall. So that's kind of where my head's at with that. But on the subject of like wanting to brainstorm more or talk more about this, and we are running out of time right now, is it possible like one of two things could happen, like creating a committee around this specific art plan for those who want to keep talking at length about it? Or is there some version of an online brainstorming way that doesn't like violate quorum that we could like at least in between now and the next meeting have more ideas flowing? Because I'm sure many of us could keep going on any one idea, and I'm sure we could have thousands of ideas if we took enough time. So that was kind of my question around, is there a way to do this outside of this meeting that we could keep going?
Amazing, Logan. We absolutely could create a subcommittee. And I think my question for Wilwyn is around like, what is our like leeway with timing around all of this? So Wilwyn, you're going to be on deck for me to ask you that question in a moment. Logan, we're going to get back to that potential motion. I want to go to Brandon and then Nancy.
Yeah, I'm all for, you know, the free wall. Coming at it from another perspective, graffiti culture, why it's so popular and why it's so ubiquitous is because of the risks that the artists are taking themselves. So with that in mind, when people, you know, essentially do bombs, graffiti, anything sort of like, no one ever sees that process. So you got people climbing up crazy heights because they want the highest area to be seen. They don't want no one messing with their things. I think one of the roadblocks that we hit, what happens if someone falls on the property where the free wall is at? That's a problem right there. Are we going to have people on scaffolds setting up, you know? So those are just like some of the potential things that can happen. And I'm all for safety. Like I love graffiti culture and I love the risks that the artists take to get something so high for everyone to see or, somewhere in a place that, you know, it triggers the audience into like, whoa, how did they do that? Or how did they get up there? So I'm pretty sure that that's one of those things that we'd probably have to work out to take in mind because I've gotten on myself, you know, on top of rinky-dink scaffolds before, but I had the insurance there just in case, God forbid, anything happened. But I think that is probably one of those things that we have to like think about, or at least the wall itself, physically, how high, what are the rules, if there's any, in terms of safety and all that, correct? Yeah. Just a thought, but because people are going to be getting up and people are going to be doing a tremendous work, you know, visually. But the risk that comes with that, it's one of those things where it's could be volatile.
Yeah. So maybe that's something hopefully you'll want to join this subcommittee that we're talking about in just a moment. Nancy?
So I was looking, I actually have the letter that was sent to the city council. So I'll forward it over to you. It was back in 2022 and the issue was safety and who's going to maintain it. And it went to the city council and they voted it down. But I do have the letter that PACD wrote and sent over at that time. So I'll forward it over to you.
It was considered by city council, like, I don't think
it was sent to the city council. Yes,
it was sent to them, but I don't think they agendized it or voted on it.
I thought that they did. I thought they shot it down and said, no, there's too many questions, safety. And they just said, no,
I don't think I could be mistaken, Nancy, and I will absolutely look into it. But I don't think it was ever agendized for the city council.
Okay, I'll have to look, but I'll send the letter over to you.
If it was, I'm like, oh, twist. Like, that would be very good information to have. Absolutely. But yeah, if you send it, maybe, I think this is pertinent for everyone. So if you send it to Sadie, maybe you can send it. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry, Wilwyn, you had a question?
It was mostly covered in the after what Nancy said. But then the next part was, I don't remember the letter, but I don't remember any sort of proposal. It was just like, we want this thing to happen.
And it was a proposal, but it wasn't like a binder, right? It was a letter.
Yeah, right. And that's what I was going to get to if we get to that part.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to get to it today because I don't want to be known as the chair that makes us go past 5 every month or even 2-5 every month, if possible. So I so appreciate this is part of the reason I had originally wanted to move this item up because I knew there was going to be a lot of discussion. And I'm even more impressed by how much discussion there was. So I'm going to work with staff. We're going to see how we can continue this conversation for the large body. And I would love to entertain a motion right now to see if there's enthusiasm to create a subcommittee to talk specifically about the public art plan. And I would love to know from you, Wilwyn, before we entertain that, do we have, like, can we work with this for a couple more months? Do we have that leeway?
A, yes. B, can you reformat? Is this part of the, you want to form another subcommittee, or can this fall under the existing education?
We could do it under the education subcommittee for sure. And then we don't have to go through the process of recreating a whole another one, and it can make things go faster. So it may be, so do we need to make a motion to expand the purview of the education subcommittee?
Just to shorten the meeting, I'll make a motion that we assign the education subcommittee to deal with the free wall.
And can it be the whole public?
No, art, excuse me, and the public art plan.
Oh, point of order, this is actually listed as a study item.
I thought action could be taken on any item that was agendized.
I mean, I guess it kind of could, but we haven't, like.
It's not substantive enough to have to fuss with, Sadie, so.
Okay, well.
Sorry.
That's fine.
It doesn't really need a motion. It is the chair's prerogative to say you're now assigning this to that committee, Adrian.
Oh. So
you can just kind of do a wave your wand and say, okay, you guys, get on it. So.
I don't have a wand near me, but I have a pen. Okay, well then I'm going to assign this to the education subcommittee, but I would like to ask if other folks want to join the education subcommittee. And Dusty, I'm so sorry, your hand has been up.
That's my question. If we're going to not create a new committee, can I join it? What's the process for getting involved in that, in a subcommittee that already exists?
Yeah. Yeah, anyone can join. We would love to have more people on the education subcommittee. So what I would like to ask is for anyone who is interested in working on the arts plan and the free wall idea before next meeting, before our next big PACD meeting in July, to indicate that so that we can get you into the education subcommittee and we can plan a meeting ASAP. Okay, I see Logan, I see Adia, I see Dusty, I see, oh, Audrey, unless you have a question, or is that?
Yeah, I'm interested, no questions.
Great. So we have Audrey, Logan, Dusty, Adia, Brandon? Oh, you're on it, you're on the education subcommittee, duh. Yay. Okay, great. Fantastic. Thank you, Jim, for that assist. Sorry, everyone, for the after 5 p.m. Amazing. Okay. Anything else for right now on this? Great. Okay. Then I just have a opening a request for additions for any additions for future agendas, any items that people would like to see agendized for future meetings. Speak now or for a month, hold your peace. No? Okay. And then we're going to this meeting that can adjourn at 5:07. Thank you so much, everyone. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chair Ackerman. See you around. Bye, guys. Thanks for your time.